Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The predominant philosophy among the media elite, within the academic community, and in the scientific world is secular humanism. Even though many of those who have embraced this philosophy could not, if their lives depended on it, give you a reasonable explanation of their worldview and defend it against its critics. They have adopted this philosophy because it allows them to live as if there is no God, and they will not have to face a final judgment. If you think secular humanism has not infiltrated some modernistic churches, let me inform you that a substantial number who signed Humanist Manifestos number 1 and 2 are theologians. Other theologians who claim to believe in God have inadvertently supported the cause of secular humanism. I would like to focus on many aspects of secular humanism, but I shall confine my remarks primarily to their views of human sexuality. Humanist Manifesto number 2 offers this view of moral values. We affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational. Page 17. If moral values derive their source from human experience, it is in order to ask, whose experience? Maybe we should follow the Marquis de Sade, who believed that rape was the highest form of sexual fulfillment. Or maybe we should adopt the views of Lester Kirkendall, a professor of marriage and family courses at Oregon State University. Dr. Kirkendall's book, A New Bill of Sexual Rights and Responsibilities, affirms that human beings should have the right to express their sexual desires and enter into relationships as they see fit, as long as they do not harm others or interfere with their rights of sexual expression. This new sense of freedom, however, should be accompanied by a sense of ethical responsibility. Pages 4 and 5. I have some questions regarding this excerpt from Dr. Kirkendall. Without an absolute guide or standard, how does a humanist or anyone else arrive at the conclusion that anything should be or must be or ought to be done? These imperatives imply some kind of standard. Who determines what is involved in ethical responsibility? Who has the wisdom to know whether or not one's behavior will not harm others or interfere with their rights of sexual expression? Who has the authority to say it is out of order in the first place? If ethics is autonomous, that is determined by each individual, whatever any man does or fails to do is right. The Old Testament expressed the same view in these words: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17:6. If you want to know where such a ridiculous philosophy leads, even among so-called intellectuals, let me read one statement from Russell Van Hoy's book, Sex Without Love, A Philosophical Exploration. It is still not clear how one can distinguish perverted behavior from non-perverted acts. Page 60. That, dear friend, should not be a puzzle to anyone. Van Hoy has no standard to determine what is perverted behavior and what is non-perverted. Christians have no difficulty making such decisions. We have the inspired Word of God. The word situational means that nothing is wrong or right within itself. It all depends on the situation. Is it wrong to commit adultery? The humanist replies, it depends on the situation. If by committing adultery, neither the man nor his spouse nor anyone else is hurt, it is not wrong. How absolutely foolish and unbiblical. Thank you, and may God bless you.